Blog Talk Radio.
How big is your vision? Is it one that will help you to get through the tough times? It should be. Doesn't matter what you want to work on, you have the ability to achieve. You need to take the time to figure it out. Got it? If you don't, pause, write a few more things. You can keep working on it. Once you have it, keep it in front.
Well, hello there, everybody. Thank you for joining us. This is Cliff McKnight. Welcome to Leverage Me Too and QS Motivision's Joy Talk on Blog Talk Radio. What a privilege we have today.
Doesn't matter what you want to work on.
None other than Dr. Timothy Moore, back on the line, back on the show by popular demand, best-selling author, books including Vegans Eat What? 47 Tips to Reverse Diabetes, 21 Days to a Healthier You, and 10 Secrets to a Dynamic Marriage. This is not to mention also, well, we must mention Ebola, secrets of stories of the circumstances behind that treacherous disease. Dr. Moore, hello, sir. How are you? You know what, Dr. Moore? I think I had you on mute. I apologize. How you doing there, good sir?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. How you doing today?
Man, I tell you, they say if I did any better, I'd be cheating. But I'm doing great, tremendous. My best day ever as my great friend, 86-year young James Dennis would say. Man, thanks for coming on here all the way from, Dallas, Texas, coming close and being part of the studio in essence by being joining us in Frederick, Maryland. We're really glad to have you in this part of the world. What do we want to talk about today? Man, I tell you what, I'm really a little bit fired up about this healthier living discussion, really paying close attention to 21 Days to a Healthier You. Why don't we start off looking and discussing a little bit about that? How the heck do you expect folks to get healthier in 21 days?
Well, brother, the main thing is the lifestyle change. 21 days to healthier you, that's just the beginning of the roadmap. That's not the end, but that's the beginning. Because anything can, it takes anywhere from about 21 days for the body to realize it's time to make a change. And it takes a couple of weeks for any of us to really get into a rhythm of change. So when you talk about 21 days to a healthier you, you look at that taste buds changing, you're thinking about foods that you're familiar with to change, you're thinking about your mindset to change, everything begins to reposition itself in the 21 days. But in actuality, in about 7 to 10 days, you start noticing some changes in what you're doing.
So, that time, I've heard that, 21, I remember years ago reading a book called Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz, and he would say 21 days to change a habit, but now you're saying it also is taking that time to change your taste buds. We're actually talking about from a cellular level, I guess. Is that right?
That's right. It takes, because you're changing everything now, not just your thought patterns, you're changing your taste buds, everything that has to do with how you feel and what's going on with your body.
So when we talk about, I did catch that other part, you say you're changing your lifestyle, your mindset, if you will.
Mind, body, and spirit.
Say again, mind, body, and spirit.
Right.
So I'm mind, reflecting. Is there a formula here? Are we talking about repetition? Are we talking about?
It's more repetition. It's just that you're doing it day in and day out. It just becomes a part of your life. It's almost like getting dressed to go to work or school. It's almost like brushing your teeth. It becomes a repetitious event, and basically you just do it.
Okay, so give us a couple of tips about what are some of the changes we're making. This is beginning to be even more fascinating because, I've got you here coaching a little bit. So tell us, what kinds of changes are we looking at?
Well, it depends on the individual. Just say you are a male and you want to have more energy. You know, you can look at 21 days healthier. You, maybe it's not drinking alcohol as late night, or exercising just a little bit more, thinking of different things that you want to do as far as meditating. Maybe you're a female and you want to reduce back pain or stomach bloating, whereby cutting back on, just imagine a piece of fruit for a minute, especially an apple. You can actually eat an apple late night, and it can actually give you a gas in the stomach. It can bloat you. Well, realize if you want to eat an apple late at night, take the peeling off of it, which has all the fiber though, and eat the fiber tomorrow. Put it in your smoothie or whatever you drink, that the fiber part, but eat the apple by itself and let the body just break it down slowly, and it just gives you more of an impact. When you talk about 21 days of healthier you, you got to understand, what are you really trying to entail? Is it just lose some weight in 21 days? Is it to get a new lifestyle in 21 days? Or is it just to feel better? And the bottom line, everybody wants to feel better. So if you feel better, guess what? You sleep better. If you sleep better, you think better. If you think better, you act better. So all that goes in hand in hand.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is most of us want to be better financially, physically, emotionally, and professionally. We want to do better work. We want to be more attractive and appealing. If we're going to be honest about it, we want to look good. We want to feel good. So the things that you're talking about here, and we're talking about choosing certain foods, what makes one food better than the other? Is that good? What makes that kind of make us maybe more energetic or healthier?
Well, you have to understand, when it comes to food, the constitution of the body is broke up in so many different facets. So you have to look at what you might like as a cucumber, and somebody else might like as a cucumber. That person might break out. They might cannot tolerate it, but you can tolerate it. Everybody's constitution is different on every type of food, from salt, from pepper, from fruit, from vegetables, from greens to beans. Everybody. That's why some people say, I don't like this dish, but the next person can eat it, no problem. Your body makeup is totally different when it comes to food. It's almost like stress. Everybody handles it different. Food, everybody's body handles food totally different.
Well, there must be some rules of thumb, because so many of these shows I see on TV and radio and late night talk about just do this, this, and this, and you'll have that. I mean, are we saying that there are those kinds of generalities, or are you suggesting that for optimum transition, the person needs to have some kind of personal assessment?
Well, assessments help. But a lot of times we have to decide what we really want to, what our outcome is. Just saying you want to eat and change your habits, but what is the outcome? What is the true reason you want to change? And I hope it's for you. And it's almost, we go back to the why. Why do you want to get rid of fibromyalgia? Why do you want to get rid of diabetes? Why do you want to lose 10 pounds? Why do you want to just be able to walk longer? It's always about you.
Yes, yes. I hear you. I had to chuckle a little bit, though, because as much as it is about us or me and thee, we are so heavily influenced by one another. And I say one another, maybe not specifically, not in a broad general sense. There may be a significant other. You want to impress a friend, a coworker, a loved one, you know, a spouse. You know, those people, those individuals do have an effect and influence. But I have to agree, it's best served, and we are best served, when we take the time to appreciate ourselves. So, Dr. Moore, what I do, and I think about that for me, it's like, okay, if my body is a temple, and I say temple, I mean that it's a place where not only my spirit lies, but the spirit of God lies, then it would serve me and that gift that I have to give it the best environment that I can. What do you think about that thought or philosophy?
I agree, 100%. What can you best serve the body with? What can you make the body in tune with? What can you make the body feel, you know, put it all in unison? Because the body is a unique specimen. And when we decide to make those changes and tweak those other things, the outcome sometimes is overbearing, and a lot of times with the outcome, we don't even believe it.
Wow. Well, I've heard some things about that. I've heard of live foods. I don't think I've ever heard of some of the things that we eat as dead foods, but I have heard them called junk food. Is it feasible to say that, well, you know, we're going to make a shift, so we're going to eat more healthy food and less of the junk foods? Is that in the realm of possibility? Or are you saying a complete, a radical shift?
Well, it's got to be a radical shift after we change what we're eating, because remember, what we try to do sometimes, we play with the body. As far as what I mean by that is, we say, well, I can eat this but not eat that. I can eat a little of this, not eat a little of that. It's like, you know, like playing with food. Like, okay, if I eat this today, maybe I give myself a cheat day. Well, a cheat day is just as dangerous, because what it allows, the food that you're trying to get out of your DNA and your body, you keep putting it back once away, and the body holds on to that day. And before you realize it, the body realizes it's just a cheat day. And then you wonder why you don't feel any better, because you haven't did anything to change nothing.
Okay. So now remember, let's say we've got some people. Maybe they haven't gone back to the last show yet, and they, you know, they happen on today's show, and they're thinking, okay, well, what is it, you know, what are you promoting? What are you suggesting that people eat? Okay, 21
you know
days.
What?
I know
you
they
know,
need to get the book, but
21 days to help you. People need to eat basically no processed food. Processed food, if it didn't grow in the ground and you didn't make it yourself, it's processed. I know we live in a society now where everything is microwavable in 3 seconds. But processed foods has caused diabetes, high blood pressure, fibromyalgia, lupus, cancer, and all kinds of health ailments. So we have to look at the food itself and realize there's nothing wrong with having some beans. There's nothing wrong with having some grains. There's nothing wrong with having some quinoa. There's nothing wrong with having a good mixed green salad. There's nothing wrong with having good, nutritious foods. But when we live on processed food, and everybody that's trying to stay healthy, processed food is not going to get them there.
Okay, so processed food is out. And we define processed food as anything that we didn't grow ourselves?
Anything you didn't grow. Or somebody else didn't grow, you might not be the green thumb, but somebody had to grow it.
Oh, okay. You had me for a minute. So we go to one of the organic stores or an organic department. Are we thinking that the food needs to be organic? We're just saying at least start off with fresh vegetables and fruits and that kind of thing.
Well, fresh vegetables, frozen vegetables, limited fruits, because the fruits is actually going to cause more harm with the sugar that they entail. So, you know, you have the local farmers markets, which have some great fresh food. Go there. The one thing about the farmers markets, you can get a lot of great foods that you can bag up for the winter or bag up for the summer and put them in bags and freeze dry them. So it just depends on what you're trying to do.
Well, you know, there is a lot of going on now, a lot of excitement and enthusiasm about juicing. Can you comment on that for us?
Well, juicing is good. Nothing wrong with juicing, but today we have gotten into the habit of juicing with nothing but fruit. Well, you and I know fruit is just a sugar, and the body does know the difference between sugar. Even though you see a commercial that says the body don't know, well, I don't know what kind of body you have, but my body knows what sugar is, period. And from the time of infant is born, somebody has instituted sugar to that baby. we all have a sugar craving, but we have to break it. So fruit is one of those things. You're trying to lose weight. You wonder why you're tired after you have that smoothie and a cup of 30, 40 minutes later. You wonder why you just don't feel like you normally feel. It takes you up on a great high, but it bringing you down, it slowly crashes. And as you get that slowly crash, you don't feel good. So when you're there thinking banana, papaya, oranges, apples, pineapples, grapes is really helping you out. And your smoothie, I contest, it is actually causing more harm than good because it's loaded with nothing but sugar.
Wait a minute now. Hold on. We're saying all of them combined or just don't put any of it in there? What are you saying there?
Well, two things. Is if you're a diabetic, you don't get to put none in there. And if you're really not a diabetic and you're trying to lose and you're trying to lose weight, you don't need to put none in there. Basically, you can have fruit in moderation, but make sure it's the right type of fruit and make sure it's the right time of day you're eating it. We're not talking about eating a banana when you're going to bed at 10 o'clock at night. It's not going anywhere. We're not talking about eating a papaya that's loaded with sugar. It's not going anywhere. So you have to understand what your body wants. And a lot of times you have to just listen to your body. And it'll tell you what it wants and what it doesn't want. It'll tell you.
Now, is that's after you re-educated or re-acclimated or even from the start sometimes, it can let you know.
It's going to let you know regardless, all during the process.
But I think, I suspect that it may be letting us know, but if we've been in doing the same wrong thing for, you know, such a long time, its way of letting us know may not be, we may not be understanding it. You know, we were attributing it to something else.
Well, I mean, that's true, but understand the body is really funny. If you get a headache, you get upset stomach, you get your eyes getting blurry all of a sudden, your fingers and your feet start tingling, your sides start hurting, lower back pain while you're eating that food. That food could be telling you right then it doesn't want it, but what we do, we look for a simple way to get around it. We're going to look for a supplement or medication, something that can mask the pain, and we'll get around it. And we get in trouble.
Okay. Man, you're making a lot of sense out here. Well, I've got something. What about someone who's got a lot of weight to lose? You're saying if we subscribe to a diet of largely vegetables, maybe even like the leafy vegetables, and we don't take much sugar, but we're used to having a whole lot of sugar, a whole lot of, pasta and grains and all that kind of stuff, and all kinds of meat. I mean, isn't that going to create some kind of shock or something in us?
No. You know, the good thing about it is the body is a funny mechanism. After about a couple of days, it'll go back and realize now it appreciated what you just did.
Uh-huh.
So remember, the body is a unique specimen. So it knows how to handle what you're trying to give it and what it's not. What it doesn't need, it knows. And sometimes before you eat it, it knows.
Sometimes before we eat it, it knows?
Because the body can feel the food.
Uh-huh. Folks, we're listening to Dr. Timothy Moore, author of 21 Days to a Healthier You and 47 Tips to Reverse Diabetes. Now, that's also, by the way, pretty exciting concept. But, you know, this is the first time in recent history that I've heard anyone talk about reversing as opposed to managing diabetes. I think years ago I remember Dick Gregory saying something about that years and years ago. And then there are some other people more recently through doctors. I think his name was Sabin or something. But not mainstream. Now here you are, very much in the public eye because so many best-selling books, and you're doing so many different things. Tell us a little bit about how a person with diabetes. Now we're saying type 1 or type 2.
Well, you can change either one, but my focus is on type 2 at the moment because that's the one that gives us the most problems right now.
Okay. Okay, well, so how do we reverse? I understand that there's, I mean, can you just give us a couple of tips? I understand that it's probably more involved, and like you say, 47 tips. Are there two or three out of that 47 that you can share with us?
Well, when you think about it for a second, we start talking about tips. Number one, the first tip in the book is it's a mindset. You've got to want to change your mindset for you. And it won't matter what goes on if you don't want to change it for you, number one. Number two, you have to realize that when you start talking about diabetes, you have to take it serious because there are 30 million people that deal with diabetes, and there's another 6% of the world don't know they got diabetes. And there's more than 90 million pre-diabetics in the United States alone. We're at 86 million worldwide. Every 7 seconds, somebody dies from diabetes in the world. So diabetes is one of the things. Yeah, every 7 seconds, someone dies from diabetes in the world. Yes, diabetes is not nothing to play with. But the problem is, in the world we live in, we think medication is going to take care of it. But medication only masks it. Because they give you medication, but nobody talks about the true diet plan of changing the lifestyle. Remember, diets don't work. Lifestyle changes do. But the problem is, we live in a world that everything is on a hustle and a bustle, fast and a hurry, fast and furious. Hey, I don't have time for nothing. But you do, because whoever's taking insulin right now, I want to ask them a question. Has the insulin ever got them well? No. You're taking a statin drug. Have it ever got you well? No. When you look at what the drugs and the insulin and all that's doing to the body, it's actually causing more harm than good. So you say, well, why do we keep taking it? Why do they keep prescribing it? Because it's about that money.
Oh, watch out now. You're getting a little controversial there with Dr.
Hey,
Moore.
That's all right. I can handle it, though.
So it's about the money. All right. So I do know. Now, I have some close friends who are medical doctors, and I can assure you they are genuinely interested in their patients being well. I do remember one saying that Western medicine is excellent for acute disease and acute situations. I think he said something like Eastern medicine is more focused on healthy, you know, maintaining health or living healthier life. You want to comment on that a little bit? Is there any truth to that?
Oh, there's a lot of truth. There's a lot of truth to it. You said something a while ago about your friends in the business. Sure. They're not intentionally trying to make anybody sick or doing harm to anybody. No. But understand, when you're dealing with a medical conglomerate, that's all it's about is money. Not saying that your friends didn't want to change anything, and they probably did. But it's not on your friends, it's not on other doctors, it's on how the world looks at stuff. So when you look at it, it's about how do we change everything that's going on at this moment. Think about it for a second. Who's in control of it? Who's in control of the food? Who's in control of the medication? And why is it we can't get well? Well, have you ever thought about it for a second? Somebody might not want you to get well. There's so much profit in drugs. It's like alcohol back in the day. There's so much money involved. It's kind of hard to take it away.
Wow. Folks, again, Dr. Timothy Moore out of, I say where you're out of there, doctor? Is it Texas?
Just say Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas, yeah. So how do people get in touch with you if they want to pursue this or follow up a little more? I know that your presence, as I hear, is everywhere, but where is everywhere? If somebody really does want to learn a little bit more or maybe even secure services from you,
well,
what do they need
they
to
can
do?
Go to, a couple things they can do. You can send me an email to info@cheftimothymoore.com. That's info@cheftimothymoore.com. Or you go to the website at cheftimothymoore.com and send me some information. What do you want to talk about? And we just go from there because, remember, everybody is totally different. Everybody's situation, everybody's life. So we look at how do we fix it and how do we change what they're trying to do. That's basically what we do.
How do we fix it and how do we change it and what to do? I love it, Mal. I guess I'm going to ask you just if I can ask you some sort of loaded questions, because I know that there's all kinds of rules and laws and stuff, but what would you say about individuals who may have been suffering from other diseases, some of which are considered to be quite deadly? And, well, I'd see, like, for example, I am kind of a, you know, survivor for the prostate cancer, but you got various types of cancer. You've got, you know, different kinds of disease and high blood pressure and all that. Would you say something about your lifestyle change will assist all those things as well?
Well, lifestyle change has a big bearing on every disease out there. And if you make a lifestyle change, the disease has to, a disease cannot live in an alkaline state. So if the body is alkaline and you're taking care of the body, the disease have a hard time staying. So all those things you must do to change to make your body feel better.
What are some of the foods that are considered alkaline? I've heard a lot of fruits are alkaline. You talk about too much sugar. So give us some other things that might be alkaline-based.
Well, when you start thinking about a green leafy vegetable like asparagus, like bok choy, like cabbage, like Brussels sprouts, those, you know, like kale greens, turnip greens, all those type of things like that are alkaline. And you're not having to worry about alkaline, in other words, which means something that has toxins and chemicals in the water, it's more pure.
Say that again?
The drink of water is more purified, where the food's like organic. You know, organic vegetables are grown in a different mechanism of water and pesticide-free, where alkaline food can be the same way as for the green vegetables.
Okay. Well, look, we may have a question here. Let me check her on the line here and see if this is a question. Hello, 7148. That's Dr. Mom. Hello there.
Hello. I'm listening. I tuned in late and I had a call in between, so I may have missed something.
Okay, yeah, I thought I saw you. I saw you drop off.
I was on earlier.
Okay,
so I got a call in between.
Okay, well, so, enjoy us. Do you have a question?
Well, I did about the prevalence of diabetes, the type 2. Were you differentiating between the different types?
Uh huh.
I was asking
what. Go ahead.
With some clarification about the incidence. And I don't know if he discussed the probable causes.
Cause of type 2 diabetes.
The uptick in diabetes. And I don't know if he said, I'm telling you, I missed some. He talked about prevalence in age brackets or in ethnicity. I just missed a lot. I'm sorry.
No problem. You talked about Dr. Moore. Did you catch any of that?
Yeah. One thing about, and thanks again for the question. One thing about diabetes is it's a lifestyle. And let me explain why it's not really hereditary. Because you can have a household with five children, and all of them stay diabetic-free but one. It's what we put in our bodies, how we exercise, what we consume, when we consume it. And 1 in 3 individuals today is insulin resistant. Now, what if you think about it, insulin resistant, somebody said, what is that? That's when the pancreas is producing too much insulin. And it hits the cell structure like, hey, let me in so I can dump this. Let me in so I can dump this. The body says, no. So we have to get rid of it so it goes back into the bloodstream and it is too much insulin in the body. Well, one of the main things that we understand about diabetes is you have to make a lifestyle change as far as food. Food is the number one component when it comes to diabetes. You cannot get around it. If you don't make dietary changes, then what we're finding out in dietary changes is it's not food, it's also nutrients, which means zinc, vitamin K, vitamin B1, vitamin B2, vitamin B6, vitamin B12. Your body can be nutrient deficient. By being nutrient deficient, it sets up a category in diabetes where the body is searching for the proper nutrient, but it can't find it. So when you look at diabetes as a whole, with 1 in 3 individuals are dealing with it every day. 1 in 4 females are dealing with it. 1 in 4 seniors 64 and above is dealing with it. And every child that's born since the year 2000, 1 in 2 will become diabetic. So diabetes is really. So you must take it by the head and say, I'm going to stop this, or it's going to stop you.
Thank you very much, my gosh. Well, Dr. Mom, thank you for listening into that. That's profoundly put. And ladies and gentlemen, you've heard Dr. Timothy Moore coming to you again with information on how to live a better life and have a healthier life. You can find his books, I think, on Amazon.com. I'm sure on Amazon.com, and they're available electronically also, right?
Yes, sir. All of them are electronic. You just go in and put in Dr. Timothy K. Moore. You can put PhD behind it, or you can just put my name, and you're going to find everything out there.
By the way, I understand that if for people who don't own a Kindle, they can download, and I'm 99.99% sure because, you know, I've been recommended for my own book. They can download the software free of charge, and it'll go on most devices, and they can get that book and just read it, the e-book right there as well. Have you had that experience?
Yes. Right.
All right. So there you have it.
I have one more question.
Yes.
Is exercise any kind of impediment or improving the diabetic condition?
Please, Dr. Moore, talk. Please.
Exercise is one of the main components of reversing diabetes because of the muscle's tone. Muscle needs oxygen, and you replenish the red blood cells. So now it doesn't mean you have to run 10 miles a day. Basically, you can do some simple things as actually walk 5 to 15 minutes a day. You can actually swim. You can actually, if you can, jog, take a light jog. But now, remember, before you take on any strenuous exercise, get your medical doctor, somebody to give you a physical, because you don't want to go out there and do some damage. You meant good, but you wind up doing some damage to your body. So, yes, ma'am, exercise is a very, very, I would say, number one thing you must look at other than food, because it just replenishes the body, and it helps the body to break down all those foreign cells and tissues. It helps the body regenerate, and it grows and makes the body's cells regrow. So, yes, exercise by all means, but you can do it in moderation. And it does not mean, like I said earlier, that you go out and have to try to kill yourself. Just take baby steps until you get stronger. And as you keep getting stronger, you keep increasing what you're doing, and you're going to be fine.
Well, I think we may have gone a little bit over. Thank you, Doctor, for asking that question. That opens up a can of a whole bunch of other stuff, Dr. Moore. We may have to have you back because, of course, there's exercise, there's getting enough rest, too, the body needing the time to do all that it does in repair and recondition and reprogramming itself. And so we're talking about rest as well. Last comment on that?
Well, rest, sleep. Sleep is one of the components that we need for the body to regenerate the cells. And the best sleep is at night. But I understand people have to work nowadays, different shifts, so they have to catch the shift to sleep the best way they can. But if you are a day sleeper, what you need to do is black out all your windows. You can go to like a Home Depot or Lowe's and get these blackout shades, put over the shades that you have in your home, make your room so dark where the body feels it's nighttime. So it's able, so the melatonin in your body, or the melatonin level that sets up in your body that affects the brain and your whole body, it triggers the body that, hey, it is really dark. It's nighttime. I need to go to sleep. See, when you're sleeping, the true nighttime, there's no light coming through the windows, and your body realizes it's time to go to sleep. So it replenishes the cells and make everything rejuvenated and revived. That's why a minimum of 6 hours of sleep a night is good. And somebody might say, well, I don't need before. Well, you act like you need a minimum of 6. And the body will wake itself up after you've had enough rest. So rest is other than exercise and food, you and yoga and meditation, you've got to do it.
Wow.
Thank
Ladies
you.
And gentlemen. Say again.
it. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Folks, tune in again. Go to Dr. Timothy, did you say, K. Moore. Do a search in Google. Everything you said comes up. I know if you go to Amazon.com and you type that in, you'll get a lot of different things. Visit him on Facebook, too, as I recall. Just get in there. Just get in touch and make use of the gifts that God has given you so that you can live fully and make the life you want for those you care about for generations to come. This is Cliff McKnight saying, if you can calm the waters, learn to ride the waves. We'll see you and listen to you next week. Take care. Have mercy.
From vision to decision. Yeah. Whether it's your dawn or your sunset, even when you've worked really hard, you've done all the right things. Sometimes, when you least expect it, things begin to fall apart.